This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. We have a Super Bowl. It's the Andy Reid Bowl. It's the Kelce Bowl. It's the Eagles against the Chiefs. Boy, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they've done some job in Kansas City. And the Eagles have visited the Super Bowl a lot of late, first with Doug Peterson and now with Nick Sirianni. Two good teams right now. The Eagles are favored by a point and a half. I'm sure that could move. And obviously we have 2 weeks to break this down. A lot of things to talk about with yesterday's game. We've kind of gotten derailed with Thibodeau and the Empire State Building. The officiating was awful. How could they actually let a play go on and then have them redo it in the Kansas City game? That was a little startling.
Yeah.
I don't think the call at the end, the personal foul, was the wrong call. I feel so bad for the guy who committed the foul, sitting there crying after the game, and he stood there like a man and took every single question. And with tears in his eyes, I feel for that kid. He's 22 years old. I thought he played a great game, but he's going to be remembered for that one thing. And there's so many things to pick out about the games, but so many people are outraged about the officials. And we touched on this earlier, Don. You can't have all-star crews. Crews have to work together. They have to know what each guy and gal is doing. And instead, you just bring in the quote-unquote best of them. And I think they're trying to show how good they are. And they're making every single call. And I think it gets a little ticky-tack. The NFC and AFC championship games should not be called differently than the games the previous weekend.
They're just way too many flags to me. And I'm not saying that you should let things go, per se. But I think in these types of games, you don't want to decide it with a bunch of penalties. And there were a lot of ticky-tack calls that were made. But the one that wasn't was that last play. You can't push your quarterback out of bounds. He's about 3-4 steps out of bounds. That you have to make that call. It stinks because I think we're going overtime. I know there's 8 seconds, but I didn't get the same feel of the Chiefs as I did last year where they were able to get in a field goal range in 13 seconds. I still think we'd have went to overtime, and we'd have had a nice chance of Cincinnati still winning that game. Give Cincinnati credit. Kansas City could not put them away. They kept hanging around and hanging around, but at the end of the day, Mahomes, isn't it crazy? He does it with his legs. All the conversation about is he going to be able to be mobile and all that, and the biggest play of the game, he was able to do it with his feet.
And I'll tell you one thing. He was not – you could see he wasn't 100%. He was not immobile. Was he mobile? No, but he was not immobile. He was – able to move enough to give himself some time, and then when he had to really bust it, he busted it on the last play, and now he has 2 weeks to try and get better. He made himself playable in a week. Usually it takes 5 weeks for a high ankle sprain to actually get better enough that you could actually play at a high level. He played great. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow's great. Josh Allen's great. Jalen Hurts is having an MVP sort of season, but Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. Just is.
Now, Tony Romo made a good point, which was tough because I don't think he had that great of a day yesterday. But he did make a very good point about, does it make you a better quarterback and do more because you don't have the option to freelance and run? And there were some plays where he really hung in there where he just threw some. Because he's got – it's so underrated. Like, his arm and his accuracy is terrific. It's just we talk so much about his mobility. But I wonder if was he able to hang in there longer and make some plays downfield that where if he were healthy, he might have abandoned it, tried to run, and maybe not get as many chunk yards because he was great. Both quarterbacks were, but especially him on third down, getting some big plays.
Now, unfortunately, bad news just came out. Brock Purdy, according to several sources, suffered a complete tear of the UCL in his throwing elbow and will undergo surgery. Now, according to Tom Pelissero, Purdy is getting second opinions, but the initial hope is he can undergo a repair, not a reconstruction, which is pretty much Tommy John surgery, and that he will be ready for training camp. I don't know. I mean, he's got to throw a football. Football's heavier than a baseball. You don't throw it as many times, but if you practice, you do. If he has a complete reconstruction, which would be Tommy John surgery, he will not play next year. So all of a sudden the thought about, well, will they trade Trey Lance? No, they can't trade Trey Lance. You don't know what Brock Purdy's going to be. Now, Brock Purdy, you know, his story was never about having a great bullet arm, but he did have enough of an arm to make the plays, and Now his arm's going to be called into question. That's an awful, awful injury for the kid. And those that were doubting, you know, what if he could come in the game later, the guy had a complete tear of the UCL and still threw a five-yard completion. You know, if somebody told you that Brock Purdy would not throw an interception, would not throw an incomplete pass, and would start and finish the game, that you'd think the 49ers would lose like that. But obviously what happened in between is what settled that game. And unfortunately for the NFL, it was a game that was practically unwatchable. And I'm surprised at you, Don. I thought that Romo was really good yesterday. You didn't think he had a good game?
He's so irritating. I'm not a fan.
Wow.
Not a fan.
It's hard. I hear Don. Like I like his demeanor, that he's like such an upbeat guy. He seems like a lovely person. But yeah, there are times I agree with Don. He can be tough. Although I'll tell you what, you know, last thing though, we discuss play-by-play a lot though, and we discuss people who we feel are mailing in their play-by-play. I'll say this, you know, all I ever say about Jim Nance is, hello, friends, he's very good.
No, he's not my cup of tea. He's not one of my favorites.
But he's dialed in.
But he's dialed in. He's not a high energy guy, but he's on top of every play. He cares. He does his homework. It's going to be preferences, right? There's going to be things you like and you don't like about anybody, but his work ethic and his ability is top notch. It's just, it's not my cup of tea, but he's still very good.
Now, Schefter is saying the 49ers recommend surgery. So I know our job doing this show is to, you know, make these wild predictions, what's going to happen. They'll start Purdy. They can move forward. All of it, that's all gone now. Now Trey Lance better get better, or they might bring back Jimmy Garoppolo. Because Trey Lance had serious surgery as well, and he wasn't playing as well as they wanted him to play before he got hurt.
Well, I don't know if anything specifically changes for them with Garoppolo. I think he was going to be gone either way. Purdy
well,
was
now
just
is something. He gone either way?
Yeah, because I, Michael, how many
if you
quarterbacks
can't depend
are you
on
have?
Purdy? So Purdy was going to be out the whole year if he has reconstructive surgery.
But if you decide to have Trey Lance be your starter, to have Garoppolo back up doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well,
does
that's
it?
What they did this year. He was going to be their quarterback, and Garoppolo backed up.
Well, but it wasn't going to be a long term. You know, at this point, I just think your eventual Purdy was kind of came out of nowhere. Like, so the conversations at the beginning of the year were that Garoppolo was going to be available. And then it became even almost guaranteed once Purdy came out of nowhere. So if he was on the table of eventually leaving before Brock Purdy, you know, hit the scene, if Trey Lance is your guy, Michael, I don't know if you're going to have, you know, Garoppolo back him up for any, you know, length for a second consecutive year.
Well, they're going to need somebody good because, again, there's no guarantee, A, what Trey Lance is going to be as a quarterback, B, if he's going to be healthy. He suffered a serious injury.
All that has to be figured out. But they loved him. They wanted him. They thought he was a better option than Garoppolo. Now, did that change because of the injury?
You know what? The Jets love Zach Wilson. He's not starting next year. So sometimes you get it wrong. I think they do like him. You're right. But is he going to be healthy enough to be the player that they thought he was going to be? All right, let's go now to the Gangrene Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. So Adam Schefter today said that Rodgers' trade from the Packers is, in fact, very, very possible.
I think there are people around the league who believe, ultimately, that Green Bay is going to trade Aaron Rodgers. He certainly sounds like a quarterback who is prepared for that possibility. But at some point here, in the coming days, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are going to have to sit down and have an open, frank discussion about what each side wants to do moving forward. And there are people who believe the Packers are open to trading him, and there are people who believe that Aaron Rodgers would like to finish his career somewhere else. We haven't heard either side address that specifically. It's just out there, as it was a couple of off seasons ago with Aaron Rodgers. And until we hear otherwise, that will continue to remain a possibility for a variety of reasons, driven by the numbers involved, the salary cap situation, his contract, the state of the franchise, his own feelings. But the idea that Aaron Rodgers could be traded this offseason is a very real possibility.
Now, Rex Ryan was on DiPietro and Rothenberg, our morning show from 6 to 10 right here on 98.7, and he said the Jets have to be all in.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. You've got the coordinator that's been with Aaron Rodgers, so that's important. You have a guy that so when Aaron Rodgers comes in, it's the same system, like something that he's familiar with. So you're going to get the best. You're not getting Russell Wilson and put in this situation where it's a brand new offensive system. You know what you're going to get when you get Aaron Rodgers here. That's the target. I don't think there's any doubt that that's the target. You've already heard Woody say that, you know, we're one piece away, you know, and that's the quarterback. So I think the Jets are going to be all in on this. You know, I think it's crazy if Green Bay trades him, but it's what it looks like is going to happen. And is anybody going to give the kind of compensation that the Jets will? I don't think they will. I could really see Aaron Rodgers being a Jet, and let's hope he is.
I think that all things being equal, I think the Jets will get him.
Yes.
And by all things being equal, Rodgers is amenable to joining the New York Jets. I think the Jets could swing a deal and would be willing to swing a deal, and they could make that salary work in their cap. They can do all of that. Now, if things are not equal, where he prefers warm weather, he prefers to be on the West Coast, then it's a different story. But I think everything equal, that I'll go to the Jets, I think the Jets will get him. Is that fair?
Yes, I agree 100%.
I think so. Now Miami's out.
Well, are they really with Tua still?
They say they're committed to Tua.
To be committed to a guy who's still in concussion protocol, and he hardly got hit in that game, I don't know.
I don't. I thought the same thing. It is a bit odd. I mean, I'm happy for Tua, but yeah.
Very odd. I think it's exciting. But I agree with what Tannenbaum said on Friday to us. I believe you got to get some kind of assurance that it's at least 2 years. And I don't think they're going to have to give up two first-round draft picks. I think the draft picks will be contingent upon how the Jets finish. If the guy takes them to the Super Bowl, I think the Jets would give him two first-round picks. Yeah. But it might be a first-rounder or a third-rounder, and a third-rounder could become a second-rounder, according to how far they go.
Yeah, give me a first-round, two picks, a first-round, and say it's a second-rounder that could become a first-rounder if we get to the championship game or the Super Bowl or something like that. Make a contingent on how he plays, or just make a contingent on will he agree to come back for a second year. I still think you can make it work beyond 1 year. If it's a disastrous season, you may not want him back, right? And he'll leave. But if it ends up being a season where you go to the championship game and you lose in Kansas City, is he going to really walk away from being that close to a Super Bowl?
I don't know if you could predict this dude, though.
No,
I think that's why the Packers probably want to, cut their losses. It's amazing. He didn't want to do the things that Brett Favre did, and his career is ending exactly how Brett Favre's ended, where he was too wishy-washy on coming back every single year. Every offseason was drama. Finally, the Packers said, okay, enough.
But, you know, he's on a team that needs a lot of work. And are they going to have the cap space to get the weapons needed for him to really get a legitimate shot at winning another Super Bowl or even getting another MVP? And that's what he's going to look at. And even though the Jets had a similar record, they were 8-9 and the Jets were 7-10. The Jets have talent. And they have room to make it work for him to be able to try to add maybe if they can make that happen. Is Green Bay? Because if Green Bay can improve Michael, I don't think he's going anywhere. But if he's not, if they can't improve, he's going to want to be gone. They're going to want to relieve themselves because they already have their plan B, and they need to get some cap space and try to improve in a division that's starting to become more competitive, right? Minnesota's not going anywhere. It looks like Detroit is a team that's on the upswing. If Fields stays healthy and becomes a legitimate quarterback, the Bears are going to be a team to contend with. Packers are going to have to try to, keep up with the Joneses here in that division.
I think the one thing that Rodgers has said, he's not in for a rebuild. So the Packers might be in for a rebuild. And they do have to make a decision on Love. So the one thing I don't think is going to happen, you guys might disagree. I mean, it's been floated. He's floated it. He could just walk away. He's not walking away from $120 guaranteed million. I don't care how much money you have. Warren Buffett wouldn't walk away from that.
Well, and he's still good.
Right.
And he made clear just very recently that he wants to play till he's old. So I don't see what would have happened. Did you guys hear the news, though, that Peyton and Brady to the Commanders can be big?
What?
You didn't hear that yesterday?
No.
That was a thing Rex Ryan floated out in pregame yesterday, that he said, don't be surprised if a new ownership group comes to Washington, if that ends up being the landing place for Brady and Sean Payton.
Oh, I thought you said Peyton Manning. Like Peyton Manning was going to buy the Commanders.
That would be something.
Well, in all fairness to Michael, you said Peyton and Brady, so we're going to assume
and
it's
Manning. And we do associate Peyton. But don't you usually say Manning and Brady. But yeah, I hear what
you're
saying.
Yeah, I know.
Sure.
Well, who's making the trade for Peyton? What ownership? You got to trade something. You got to trade a first rounder to New Orleans. Who's doing that? Dan Snyder? I don't see that happening.
Well, no, it wouldn't be Dan Snyder. He was only
saying
if it wasn't
Dan Snyder.
But they
can't do the deal that fast. These deals take forever.
You mean the sales?
Yeah.
I hope it's not forever, Michael. Please
don't
say
it's going to be forever. That's the Gang Green Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. One thing I'd like to ask TV executives, okay? What was the purpose of having 5 guys freezing on the field in Kansas City? You didn't have a guest from the game there. Jim Nance is the guy who goes down and interviews the people on the podium. Why did 5 men have to freeze their butt off? For what? There was nothing advantageous to be on the field than to be in the studio in New York.
Or
does
like
it make it seem big?
I know. Or like they couldn't set them up on the concourse so they could like be inside, then just pop out on the concourse, then go back.
Well, I'm sure they were covered during the game. They were probably in a warm place during the
game. Something
Phil I guess it, like his face was going to crack.
I guess it makes it seem big that you're there. I guess that it doesn't do anything for me. Matter of fact, they should have learned their lesson last year when there was a band that played at halftime. You couldn't hear them. Remember that?
Yep.
But I guess they got that all worked out. But I guess it just makes it seem like it's bigger.
Did you see the tweet by Valdes-Scantling, who, by the way, had a great game for Kansas City? He tweeted out, can I still watch Rihanna? No, you can't. You're going to be in the locker room then. You can't watch her.
You could come out, you know.
How would that look? Heavy duty work.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. They have the big halftime adjustments for the wide receivers. They got a lot to do there.
Let's go to Jonathan in Brooklyn. Jonathan.
Hey, guys. Big fan of your show, first time caller. And I just want to give a shout-out to my 2 friends, Max and Joe, who are also huge fans.
What's up, Max? What's up, Joe?
Of the show. They're going to be very happy you said that. And Peter, I just want to say very quickly, I was a big fan of your father. I read a bunch of his articles and his writing in The Nation back in the day. But to my point, talking about Aaron Rodgers, I'm a Giants fan, by the way, but talking about Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, I was listening last week to Jet fans calling in, and a number of them saying they're not sure they want Aaron Rodgers. They prefer to have Derek Carr solely based on Aaron Rodgers, less than stellar performance last season. And I'm wondering if these people watched Derek Carr last season. Look, I like Derek Carr a lot. That season of Hard Knocks with the Raiders, he seemed like a good leader, a good teammate. But, I mean, we're talking about 2 different levels of football here. Aaron Rodgers, I think in his 18-year career, has thrown double-digit interceptions maybe 3 times. In half that time, Derek Carr has done it something like 6 or 7 times. So, I mean, if you're...
But, John,
the
variable is age, though. Isn't Carr 8 years
older? Of course. No, I know. I know that. But if we're talking about... this sort of gets to my second point, which is, if you're Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas, your job is on the line this year, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and I think the way to show that you belong, to buy yourself years, is to get yourself a quarterback who's actually going to allow you to compete with the best of the best in the AFC. I'm not sure Derek Carr does that. I think Aaron Rodgers plus maybe an offensive lineman here or a filling in some position somewhere else. Actually, you might, nothing's a guarantee in the NFL, but you might actually be able to compete with the Bills, maybe the Bengals, maybe the Chiefs. And then, when Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas go to Woody Johnson at the end of the year, they can say, look, we did something for this organization that hasn't been done since the Rex Ryan years, actually compete and put
I think that everybody involved, I think there are some Jet fans that just want to be contrarians and talk about Carr. But I think the Jets want Rodgers. I think that's the guy they want. Because that's a sure thing. And you're right. Robert Saleh has to make the playoffs this year. Now, Derek Carr is a very talented player, and I don't think he got a fair shake in Vegas. They've had a lot of coaching changes, a lot of offensive changes, and all the plans that they had didn't. A lot of the wide receivers are hurt behind Devontae Adams, and he still had a pretty good year. But, I mean, make a choice, and I think the choice would be Rodgers over Garoppolo or Carr.
You look at the four teams that played this weekend. I think the Jets are among those teams for the next 2 years if they make this deal, possibly a third. But I think at least for 2 years. You wouldn't want that? Now, I'm not saying they'd win the Super Bowl, Michael, but you're telling me that they wouldn't be, that they couldn't be Philadelphia, San Francisco, Kansas City, or Cincinnati? What? You have a legit quarterback with some weapons, a really good defense. Jets defense is as good as at least three of the four teams, maybe not San Francisco.
Not the Eagles.
In the conversation,
do you
believe,
were a
top five defense all year.
Is Garrett Wilson on the level of Ja'Marr Chase?
Well, all I know is Garrett Wilson's got an excellent chance to win Rookie of the Year with almost no quarterback. You don't think he's going to be good with a future Hall of Fame quarterback?
Well, in the group we just talked about, those four teams, where will Rodgers, in terms of his play next year, rank among those quarterbacks? I would say definitively behind Burrow and Mahomes. Can he be as good as Jalen Hurts?
All right, but so the third or fourth, you're in the conversation.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, listen, it's an absolute game changer for a team that hasn't had a quarterback since Joe Namath.
Let's move that conversation to after the break. 1-800-919-3776. You join the conversation as well.
Sure you can.
We are here right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN FM KDO.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know, I got a lot of hate tweets the other day.
Oh, no.
Why?
From Knicks fans after the Knicks won that big game against the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Oh, why don't you pour cold water on it? Blah, 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 blah. I said, well, talk to me back in June. Because this is what the Knicks are. They came out and they laid an egg at the beginning of the game against the Nets. They made a spirited comeback, but Kyrie was unconscious from three, and they lost in, you know, they lost him in Brooklyn. That's the Knicks right there. What would be excuse for it's a road game, there's no travel, and you get on a bus to go to Brooklyn. What would be the reason for coming out so flat? And they did. The coach said they came out flat. Julius Randle said they came out flat. These are your New York Knicks. That's why don't fall in love. They are what they are. I'm sorry if I'm not waving the orange and blue pom-poms enough for you, but I'm trying to look at it objectively. They have some great games. Julius Randle has had an unbelievable season. Jalen Brunson was a good signing. All of that. But come on. You follow that up by a loss to the Nets when you come out in the first quarter as if you're sleepwalking with no energy? No excuse. That's the team they are.
Now, are they going to make this deal with Toronto?
I'm not sure. I don't know what they give up. Supposedly a couple of first-round picks.
At least.
Yeah.
And this, and the usual suspects that they wouldn't give up to Utah.
Right.
You know, Quickly and Toppin. But OG is a need.
Yeah, but
again, you know him better than I do as
far
as like
he's at best, he's the third best player on your team. Which they have. They have a third best player. That would be RJ Barrett. So now you're replacing RJ with OG. couple of an initial move, but you're still not getting the superstar that you need. It does fill a need, but does it really change them all that much? I think it makes them a little better, according to what they have to give up. Let's go back to the phones. Jimmy in Staten Island. Jim.
Show as always. Listen, I got to be honest with you, Michael. I want to make a comparison here, and I just want you to let me know if I'm wrong with this. Remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before Brady got there?
Right. That no playoff Tampa wins since October.
They, right. Well, they were always close. They said, you know, they were that quarterback away. And they went, I got Brady, who was a real general. The guy took over on the field. The guy knows what he's doing. The Jets. All I hear from the fans is, we're close. We need a quarterback. We'd be in the playoffs if we had this guy. We'd be, well, here's the golden goose. Mm-hmm. You feel you're that close? Go get him. Go get him. What two picks are you going to make that's going to bring you closer than where Rodgers would get you in the next 2 years? I would take that in a second. Thank you, and I hope you have a great day.
Jimmy, it's so obvious. You know what I keep thinking of? That Geico commercial where the serial killer's after the kids. The Jets would rather go hide behind the chainsaw than go to the open car with the door. You know, right? Like that's Rodgers, right? There's your salvation right there. But now we're going to roll with something else and hide behind the chainsaws. Maybe he won't see us. Like, it just seems it's so obvious, guys. Why talk yourself into a circle, first round picks? Oh, look what happened with Brett Favre. It's right there for you.
But in fairness, we don't know what the Jets are thinking. Nudnik Jet fans are saying, no, you're sacrificing the future.
Right.
Every year your future stinks. You haven't even made the playoffs in 10 years. Right. So you talk about the future. Why is the future going to be any different than the past or the present? You need the quarterback, the seminal quarterback. This guy is an all-time great. He's available.
You know the only way I'd understand it, Michael, is if Zach Wilson showed you something. Then maybe I can get behind fans saying, let's not do anything. Maybe we got a quarterback. And I know that, you know, Carr is available for not nearly as much, or maybe Garoppolo becomes available for not nearly as much. But I'd understand it a little bit more if you wanted to stick with the homegrown kid. If he showed you something, there doesn't seem to be an immediate future with Zach Wilson or any future whatsoever.
So what their first-round draft pick this year is 13?
13.
Okay. So that's a significant pick. But if he comes in and does what he's supposed to do, if you have to give up two first-round picks, which I don't think you would have to, but say you do, maybe the first-round pick next year would be 31st or 30th. Then it's not that a great a pick. Are you getting somebody that will impact your team as much as Aaron Rodgers with the 13th pick this year? No.
No. But I think you're right, Mike. I think the Jets are all in. I think there are some fans that are apprehensive, but I would think Joe Douglas and especially Robert Saleh, whose job's on the line, I don't think he's going to be able to survive a third year without making the playoffs. How could you not be all in?
Let's go to a Sal in West Hampton Beach. Sal.
Peter, my Goombas, how you doing? I haven't talked to you since November. That Thursday before the show?
Oh, and yeah, we remember every one of your calls.
Well, that's your fault.
What a show, baby. You guys can put one on. You three look good on stage, too. Michael, I took your advice. I stayed away from you, but all my other 19 people that were with me went to see you guys, you know, up front. So I stayed away. I just wanted to be, you know, because I love you guys. I don't want no tensions. But I was going to cover the Empire State Building, the referee, and the tweets. I just want to talk about the real important news. Peter won! That's the number one thing.
Big
and you
news.
Came back like the 78 Yankees, Michael. Great job.
Thank you.
I'm
very proud.
Go ahead,
Don,
I'm sorry.
Don's in last place, though.
That's it.
I know, but Don looks better wet than anybody else. So, and he
wow.
And when he gets and Don, when you get elected into the Hall of Fame, I hope to God I'm still here. I want to be there. I really do because I know you're
fame?
Going, buddy.
What Hall of Fame is he going to, Sal? Hockey or
well, either the Hockey Hall of Fame for radio or even the Radio Hall because nobody beats this man. I'm telling you, I haven't missed one game that he does, and I know all the people around me do the same thing. So I just
well,
want to throw
you,
some.
Sal.
I want
to
throw some chips there.
Thank you,
but the only thing I want to say, now I'll get off. How about you're doing this in August, right, the dunk?
No, it'll probably be in late June, early July.
All right, so it's warm enough. I say you make the tank full of olive oil.
Something that we
olive
it should be
oil.
A punishment.
Hot oil.
Not hot.
I think that's dangerous. Oh, just oil, you say.
Oh, you don't have to heat up the olive oil. I'm just thinking something that makes you uncomfortable. You're dunking me in Michael, in cold water.
So how about, I mean, we've said it before.
In the
summer. You want warm urine poured in there? I mean, what do you want?
Well, I don't know why do we have to go from one extreme to the other?
So what would you, want to jump in clam chowder?
You know how many people would take the urinate into a tank to fill it?
I just want to, can I just say one thing about this? I've thought about this a lot.
I don't mean the whole tank, Don. I mean, sprinkle in some urine.
The ocean.
Exactly. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this because Don has been, Michael, you know, he has not backed off that this is a nothing burger.
Nothing burger.
I don't think he's taking into account how annoying the experience potentially would be if you keep getting knocked down over and over again. Like, it's not, yes, you're right. It's not dangerous. It's not going to hurt. But regularly sitting there, like, you don't know how pleasant it's going to be to fall, to have the bottom drop out from you, and then you have to climb back up and do it again. Like, I think it could be a little bit more of a punishment than you're giving it credit for.
It'd be so devastating.
As opposed to last year, it won't be as bad as a wiffle ball off your back. But, I mean,
to upgrade, because we just don't want to be great. Listen, that's fine.
I don't get it.
We're going to get wet during the summer.
I pray, Michael. The thing is, like, high enough up that every time it's a surprise and it's kind of scary and annoying, and it's over and over and over.
You're almost hoping he breaks his leg when he goes in.
Would
that be enough, Don? If you broke your leg, would that be daring to be great?
If it was a possibility, then we're talking about something.
Of course, it's a possibility.
Don looks better wet than anybody else. So
this is all going to be regulated. It's going to be literally a walk in the park. It's going to be nothing. I'm going to have to come up with something on my own to do something to myself to entertain the audience, because that's what I have to do.
Don has already told us who he's picking. He's picking the Eagles.
The Eagles, 3 points, done.
I think he's bluffing now, Peter.
He could be.
Yeah.
If he's smart, he should be.
Right. Because if I pick the same thing as him, he's lost. He lost.
It's over.
Because I'm in second place right now by a half point.
Mm.
Because my friend, had the Chiefs. Don didn't.
And if you're tuning in late for some reason in the 5 o'clock hour, when all the chips were down and everything was on the line, I nailed both games to clinch everything and move on. Oh, I felt so good. I luxuriated in the Chiefs game. Luxuriated.
Right.
Because, you know, I knew Purdy would get injured on the third play of the game.
I was happy for you.
Thank you.
Because you've said to me many times in the almost decade, I think we're coming up on 8 years. Your 8-year anniversary is going to be coming up this spring, that you've always said the one thing you hate to do is to get wet in the summertime. It makes you sick. It makes you nauseous.
Well, no, see, this is wrong now. Now so you're doing...
I'm so happy for you, Peter, that scary near-death experience won't happen to you. So
see what a jerk he is.
See, now, thank God for
now
thank
he's
God
pouring
for
water life. On my great season.
No. I'm telling you, you're
acting as if that's the reason I was scared. I wasn't scared about the water. I was scared about the embarrassment.
That's right.
Of
we
blowing
don't
a huge
lose.
Lead.
We don't want to lose.
It was my second.
I hate to lose.
You've done a lot of it recently. Let's be honest.
That's true.
You haven't won in a long time.
I'm very comfortable with who I am and what I am. But you said to me, you took me aside one time and said, "Don, whatever we do, make sure we don't have a bet in which I get wet if it's like north of 85 degrees."
I hope it's so annoying. I hope it's 15 feet and the ladder hurts to climb
I'm
up.
I'm going to ask God
you know
for it to snow
to,
that
though,
day
Peter,
just so
that
we
that
can have
one of those unseasonably cold
days. Listen, I'm praying for it because we have the show's reputations on the line.
I want
an audience. I want people that are going to be happy to be there.
I got news for you.
Don LaGreca get wet and it's 90.
I have news for you again. Even though Don thinks the only thing that entertains an audience apparently would be like hitting him in the testicles with a shovel, I think that the audience will be amused to see Don fall in the water over and over again. I really know
I would be.
Like, he's acting as if there's nothing funny about a dunk tank. There is. There's a reason they exist.
They're there for entertainment purposes.
And
yes,
Don, I want to head off any Sidney Poitier mishaps. Happy birthday to Gene Hackman, who's 93 today. I know you love him as an actor.
You do, and we've got a top five coming up.
Oh, God, don't say it's Hackman movies.
Is it really? And you're worried about the show.
Mr. Entertainment.
Wait a minute. So it's okay to wish him a happy birthday, this hack, literally. that you think is not worth celebrating his movies, but we can interrupt what was a fun conversation to say a happy 93rd birthday to Gene Hackman. You're getting the top five movies. You're going to like it, and go Google and find out. And if you can't come up with five, then don't watch movies anymore. Put your head in the toaster. For God's sakes.
No, my head in the toaster.
Head in the toaster, Michael.
I don't know. Keep jamming it in until it goes through one of the slits.
I don't think I could do it.
Now I'm going to come up with 10. Now, to keep aggravating me, it'll be 10 Gene Hackman movies.
Standing
right now,
in a tub
five.
Of water with a plugged-in toaster.
Listen, you could do whatever you like, Don, in the next segment, because once people hear about the top five being Gene Hackman movies, they'll be moving on.
Yeah.
They'll come back for you and then at 6.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Hold on. Up to the beach bash to see somebody get wet when it's 93 and humid.
Can we run something up the poll? What is more entertaining, seeing Michael or Don fall into water repeatedly or spending 10 minutes talking about Gene Hackman? I need to
know. Nobody says it has to be 10 minutes, and I guarantee you we'll get somebody aggravated that I didn't include a movie. Don't tell me what's good and bad.
You're telling us. Why are you telling us what's good and bad?
My segment, it's sponsored, and it's that, or who's going to win the Jets-Blues game? What do you want? Let's roll.
There's no hockey today.
Jets, Blues.
Oh, there's one game.
One game.
I'd prefer that than the hockey stuff.
I got somebody asked me, like, you said you were going to have a top five every day. I'm going to have a top five every day.
Oh,
matter of fact,
here's
guess what? Now I'm going to have a top five now through the Super Bowl. 10 consecutive top fives starting today.
All top
five Gene Hackman movies.
How about trying to make them
Google
about
Gene Hackman?
How about trying to make them about sports?
Well, we'll wait and see. How about making a punishment that people actually feel like they're being punished and not soothed by beautifully cool water on a warm day? Wow, we really know how to do it.
Let's take a brief time out. Can't wait to hear the Gene Hackman stuff coming up next right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie.
It's now time for the Daily Don, driven by Nissan. Happy 93rd birthday to the great Gene Hackman. Tremendous resume of movies. I've narrowed it down to my top five. What say you guys?
I'm going to jump out on a limb here and go with a movie that I found very boring as a child, but I'm sure I'd enjoy as an adult, and that would be Hoosiers.
Well, Hoosiers, I don't know how you ever found it boring as a child.
I was like 10. I thought it was really slow.
Well, you were slow.
I don't think that's true.
I've got it at number 3, the great Coach Norm Dale. Tremendous performance. It's one of the quintessential underdog movies of all time. Hoosiers, I have at number two. I can't read my own writing.
Well, if you don't have it, this is number one. Why don't we just close shop? The French Connection.
The French Connection is the quintessential Gene Hackman movie. Won Best Actor for it, playing Jimmy Doyle.
Thought about
it. Back in 1971. The French Connection, Michael, is number one. Tremendous pull.
I know Don LaGreca, and I think Don LaGreca might include a movie that I love called The Royal Tenenbaums.
I like it. Do not have it in the top five.
Who are you taking out?
You could come up with a list of a bunch of movies that didn't make the top five. I do enjoy that. You know my taste, Peter.
I think Don has told me he likes this movie, so I'm going to throw it out there. The Birdcage.
The Birdcage. I love this movie. Senator Keeley, I've got it at number 3. Really broke out as a comedic actor in that one. Hilarious movie. Robin Williams vehicle. Nathan Lane vehicle. The Birdcage, number 3.
Well, I'm just scrolling through his IMDb and looking for guesses here. How about Unforgiven?
Oh, The Unforgiven, one of the greatest movies of all time. Definitely one of the best westerns of all time. Little Bill, his death scene is unbelievable. The Unforgiven, number 4.
I had not seen that. Now you ruined it for me.
Wow.
So you haven't seen it by now, Michael. It's 30 years old.
Well,
it's one of the
top
five movies ever made.
When I talked about The Sopranos 20 years ago, everybody was like excoriating me.
Well, because there was a whole generation of people that were never
introduced
to it before.
A whole generation of people that have not seen Unforgiven.
No.
All right, I'm going to sing the answer to this one, and it better be on this list. There's got to be a morning after.
See, even though we don't have a lot in common, that's one of the things we have in common, attaching music to movies. The Poseidon Adventure, Reverend Scott, I have at number 5.
That's right. Shelley
Great
Winters.
Action movie. Very, very underrated movie. There's so many that I didn't put in that I could definitely put
young
in.
Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein would be number 1. That's an amazing movie. It's a cameo. He's only in it for a couple of minutes, but it is a tremendous couple of minutes. Royal Tannenbaum, you mentioned, terrific movie. Mississippi Burning, another great.
Oh, that's a big
so
one.
Many great
Superman.
Movies.
Yeah, how about
Superman
1 and
2 and 3?
And 3.
Get Shorty.
There's so many great movies. So I've got The French Connection 1, Hoosiers 2, The Birdcage 3, Unforgiven 4, and The Poseidon Adventure number 5.
I can't believe he's 93. I'm almost like, I don't know, you guys aren't like floored by that?
It's interesting because what was The French Connection like, 71? So he was already like close to 40. Like, so... And do you realize Michael knows this?
Well, he hasn't done a movie since 04?
No. Yeah, I think that's the last...
Wow.
So it's almost 20 years since we've seen him. No Way Out, another great movie that I could have put on the list, too. But yeah, so it's 71. He had to be close to 40 already, yeah, because he kind of a condensed period of time, but some amazing stuff. Yeah, 93 does blow me away. For his age.
Crimson Tide, Wyatt Earp.
So all many.
Right. Before we give away a super box, Don, do you have a take on the Islander trade?
Yeah, well, they're obviously going for it. We thought that maybe they should be sellers, but clearly they're buyers. Besser Horvat is a very good player for them. He was a first-round pick.
They got him from Vancouver.
Atu Rata was I believe, early second-round pick. Anthony Beauvillier, a very good, speedy player, and a first-round pick. So they did give up a lot, but they got somebody that can give them instant offense, something they just desperately need. They're right on the cusp of almost being completely out of it here. So some offense. So they gave up quite a bit, but I like Bo Horvat a lot. He's a really good player. I think he's going to fit in really nice here to do a bunch of things, not just score for them, but do other things as well. So. He was the player the Devils could have had if they didn't trade their pick to get Schneider back in the day. So he comes back and gets to play for the Islanders, and I like the fact that they're trying to go for it because I want to see them, see if they can sneak into the playoffs. It could be very dangerous once they get there because they've got the defense and the goaltending. This was a need. They got it. Let's see if it works.
Isn't it interesting, Don? Their two wins this weekend probably moved the needle to this side. If they had lost those games, they might have traded away talent.
No, you're right. That really came down to it. And listen, after he said it was on him, Lou, going into that Ottawa game, they lost it. But they've kind of turned it around with a couple of really important wins, most recently over Vegas. So maybe that's enough. They still have a lot of work to do. They've got 52 games played, so everybody's got games in hand on them. But they're still only 3 points out of a playoff spot, so I like the fact that Lou's going for it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.